Thank you. Oh. God, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory.
Thank you, Lord. Sing. Oh, God.
Well, he won't leave us.
That's right.
And he won't forsake us. So I'm thankful for that today, and to know we can depend on our God and Savior. I was thinking, Brother Jerry York asked that question this morning to Brother Smith about Eve being deceived and her having a resurrection and all of that. I started thinking about it. You know, it's really our responsibility whether we get deceived or not. I was thinking, you know, you say, well, that person was just deceived. Poor thing, you know, they were just deceived, you know. They couldn't help it. They were deceived. But, you know, I think it's going to be our responsibility. You know, after knowing about God and his plan, we was talking about last weekend, and giving us instruction on how to walk with God, you know, in a humble spirit. And, you know, God gives us the things that we need to help us from being deceived. And it's sad, but it's really our responsibility, you know, to really, you know, it's not going to be, you know, that's why they say, you know, you're not going to go to heaven on somebody else's coattail, somebody else's their life that they live before you, your parents or your preacher or whoever it is. You know, it's not going to, it can help you, but you're not going to heaven because of how they live. You know, we're going to heaven by how I live. So if I'm deceived, then it's going to fall on me, you know. So it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. So it's up to me, really. I mean, I know I can't do it all by myself, but I mean, as far as giving mine what I can do to God, and letting God help me, show me, you know, I keep falling back on some of the old prophets, you know, how they sought God. Now, I was thinking about Ezra the other night, and how he sought God, and he felt like God's hand was on him. And he was ashamed to tell the king to send soldiers with him, because he already had told the king, to God's hands upon me. You know, and that's the attitude we have to get. Having that faith in God, to know God is with us. You know, we have to make the steps, but God is with us. You know, he's not gonna step for us, but just to know. And I was thinking, Brother Smith was talking about Jesus this morning, how that he had an advantage on us, and how to, you know, just thinking, you know, when he's talking to people in a congregation or a group of people, you know, he had that the spirit of discernment. He just knew what they was thinking. You know, sometimes we can know what people are thinking. You know, you can look at people and say, well, I remember Brother Tuck used to talk about this man, you know, driving down a road 90 miles an hour, and he can tell you what's going to happen to him, you know. I mean, something you can discern, you know, you can look at people sometime and discern. So we have some maybe limited amount of discernment, but he didn't have an unlimited amount of discernment. He knew, you know, he knew the spirit of man. And we're getting acquainted. I'm thankful. We're getting acquainted with how Jesus walked in this earth and how we can, you know, with his help. We're not just doing this with our own power, but God is helping us. And every now and then, I feel that. I feel God's assistance, you know, in our work here. And that just helps me to want to continue with God. And I have to continue seeking God. I can't quit. I can't get lackadaisy or whatever. You know, I can't just, I might can retire in the natural, but I better not consider retiring with God. You know, I have to keep going. I have to keep pressing on because that's the only way, you know, because otherwise our nature, you know, the nature that we was born with will overcome us. And we have to keep, you know, keep pressing. This is a pressing way. And if you give up at all, it'll overtake you. You know, I was looking at something where they were talking about these things, you know, talking about death and all these things that will overtake you. But and it will, you know, even your natural feelings and your... I tell my wife, she said, well, you know, talking about how I feel, you know, your feet don't feel good, your legs don't feel good. But that can deceive you. You know, I used to walk all the time, you know, and I'm walking more now, but I was kind of getting deceived, my own self. You know, I was thinking I can't walk, you know, I got diabetes, I can't do this. But, you know, she was talking to this lady, she was 72 years old, and she bowled and she did all kind of things. And she said, you know, I'm going to hurt. If I sit at home, I'm going to hurt if I go out here and do whatever activity I'm doing. So I said, well, I'm going to hurt anyway. So I might as well go ahead and get busy. So we might as well get busy for the Lord. You know, things going to bother us no matter what we do. When you sit at home, you're going to start getting in the mully grubs or whatever. So you just have to get busy. And I think we have to get busy with God because, you know, our nature, like I said. You know, we're going to have this nature unless we do something with God to help overpower it. It's a powerful thing, y'all. Just your carnal mind. That's right. You know, it's a powerful thing. But God can help us with that. Yes. You know, he can help us to get our thoughts together. Yes. You know, we don't have to think about getting in the mother grove. We don't even have to let the mind, you know, take over. We can begin to think on the things of God and to meditate. The Bible tells us to meditate on his law. His commandments. I mean, they did it for the natural kingdom of Israel. It was a must that they taught their children from the time they get up in the morning, I guess. You know, teaching them God's commandments. You know, writing them up on their heart and everything. I mean, they was wanting to, you know, they had to do that in the natural. And I think we have to get in God's word and begin to meditate on the things of God. It helps us. Like I say, otherwise, you know, things will overtake you. And I'm thankful today that we're in a place that we're reminded and we're encouraged to do that, is to move out into things of God, reach out to God, because that's the only help. That's what the help I need is in God, you know, his help. You know, we have to look to him. And he's helping us. I mean, I feel it. I feel God is helping us in our services. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful today to be in, and appreciate Brother Slavik and his family being with us today, and I'm looking forward to hearing them. They're not only just here, but they're taking part in the band and everything. So they're not just here; they're being a part, taking part. So it's good to have them here today. Good to be heard about your accident, Brother Caleb. Good to see you here and smiling. It's good. God, I'm sure he could say things could always be worse. Yes, things could always be worse. That's why I hope you're looking at it that way. You know, you're blessed to be in church today and see my daughter. Good to see her today. And I'm gonna miss anybody now. Brother Shelby, hey, you hadn't seen him in a while. Good to see you. Yeah. Good to have you out. All right. We're going to look to the Lord for prayer and pray to God. When Brother Mike and Sister Cindy is out today down in Texas. And pray for them that they'll have a good trip there and back. And who? Anybody else? Missing anybody?
Brother Tyler?
Where is he?
Not Tyrone.
Hmm?
Tyler Harrington.
Oh, okay. I thought you were sending me out here.
Yeah.
Remember, Brother
Tyler. I think he got a few stitches, didn't he, Caleb?
Yeah,
Brother Tyler Harrington.
I think I was trying to get him out of the racing business.
I had an accident, too. Remember him. Sister Ratliff. Your family? All right, remember her family. Sister Oaks. Yes, Kyle. Remember her son, Kyle. Sister Crow. All right, remember Sister Crow's sister, Sister Kim. Brittany and Connor. All right, thank you. All right, Sister Ann. All right, remember Sister Ann, Mother. Pray for her. Brother Mike. Jump. Yeah, okay, Brother Jonathan. Remember that need. Okay, I guess the ushers get ready. We'll do the offering and any other requests, other prayer requests. So let's all stand and take our needs to the Lord.
Tyler, my mother's here, but she's still having trouble with her jaw. Also, Sister Smith's really been sick.
All right, remember Grandma Smith today. Good to have her in church. And Sister Smith, remember, pray for her today.
Smith hadn't been feeling well.
Brother Smith's not 100%. Remember him, Brother Smith. All right.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Lord, we look to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we know that you can help us.
Touch these days of God.
Thank you, God.
Praise you, Lord.
Touch the lives
of God and our hearts and our spirits. Be with their hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you for our Father.
Thank you for blessing. Thank you for our ministry. 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 Gracious Savior.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be here today. Appreciate all of you that are here, and I know we've got some out, but Smiths are gone to Texas today, so, and there's others that are not here, but sure good to see you, Sister Wilkins. It's good to have you.
Amen.
Appreciate having Sister Wilkins. I miss you when you're not here. She battles with her health, and so I'm thankful when she's, you know, there's just something about this getting old thing. I don't think that offend her. She's past that, I think. There's just something about it that that affects you in a way that you sometimes you just can't hardly go. You just have to, like Brother Tally said, you just got to make yourself do it. You're gonna suffer either way. You might as well suffer accomplishing something rather than just sitting down. So I appreciate that. I have a key. It looks like an ignition key to a Toyota. It's got a Toyota symbol on it. It was found out kind of close to the sign area, and it's probably might have been out there for a while. So, but anyway, if you've lost a key, it'd be up here on the pulpit, and I might make mention that on Sunday, of course, our singing is on the Saturday night, the 19th at 7 p.m. Saturday night at 7 o'clock on the 19th, gospel singing. And so your Sister Sarah, you're welcome to come, you and Brother Steve both. And if you want to bring your parents, you can. Then on the 20th we'll be celebrating the graduation from the graduates after dinner downstairs. So, and there's a invitation back there on the bulletin board if any of you would like to go to the graduation ceremonies. We'll try to keep you posted. There is Brother DJ keeps reminding me that his invitation's back there and it should be announced. So I'm announcing that before I forget it again. Anyway, it is a big accomplishment, isn't it? To finish school and graduate and then enter into another phase of life. And this day and time, it almost requires further education, but and even in the things of God, where we don't find a place, like Brother Tally said, to retire. It's just, it seems like there's one graduating stage to the next, and until finally one day I'd like to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in." I appreciated these songs that we had about relationship with Jesus. There's just something about it. That when you're brought into, I've often said, you know, when you the Lord touches your life, in whatever measure, you're blessed among mankind, all mankind. If you hear about Jesus, His saving grace, if you can be touched or quickened by the Spirit of God enough to cause faith to rise up in your heart to repent, and get forgiven of your sins, what a wonderful feeling that is. To have your sins washed away, to go to bed at night and wake up in the morning clean. And know that I'm accomplishing what God's asking of me. I've repented and I'm walking with the Lord. My intention is to obey Him, live a righteous life, and stay dedicated to Him and look to Him as my Lord and Savior. And then if God touched you in a way that you've got a revelation, a vision of really what the Lord is doing in the earth, what's the center of what He's doing, where is it located, what's God working on, what is His, you know, it's like Brother Leniger had that little boy ask him one time, said, what is your main thing? His Brother Leniger was a poor preacher, and so he lived in one, you know, he lived in an apartment there in Oklahoma City Church, and he painted on the side, you know, to try to make enough money when you've got, this church wasn't a big church at that time, and he didn't make enough money. The church wasn't able to support him enough to make it. So he painted on the side. And just about anything else he could do. Well, he found a place where he could sell furniture, and he had a Mediterranean bedroom suit in one bedroom, and he had a colonial in the other, and a French in another, and an all-American in another. He had four bedrooms in that apartment. And he had an ad in the paper, you know, for furniture, bedroom suits. And so this lady called, and she wanted to know about the bedroom suit he had for sale. And he said, well, the best thing for you to do is come look at it. Well, when she got there, he said, what are you interested in? What, a Mediterranean or a colonial? Or I think one of them was Spanish, not French, but it was a Spanish. And the other one was all American. And well, he took her from bedroom to bedroom and showed her all these. Well, she said, she said, this is the bedroom suit I want right here, but she said, but I can't buy it yet because I've got to have my bedroom painted before I can buy. I'm not buying new furniture and putting it in there until I get my bedroom painted. He said, well, you're in luck. I'm a painter. He said, I paint too. She said, you're kidding. He said, no. So anyway, when they set a time, she went ahead and bought the bedroom suit. He nailed her down right there. And the next week he is over painting her bedroom, and her little boy was there. And he said, he was watching him paint, you know, and he said, so you preaches and you paints and you sells furniture. He said, tell me, he said, mister, what is your main thing? I never will forget, Brother Linger told this story one time in Montreal with an interpreter. And when he was telling about taking this woman from bedroom to bedroom, showing her these bedroom suits, the interpreter was interpreting it pajamas, but bedroom suits. He didn't know what a bedroom suit was in English. Bedroom clothes, he was telling. And I'm telling you, nobody laughed about this story. There wasn't no laughing going on. But Brother Leniger, he don't care. When he's telling a story, he tells it. Don't matter if you laugh or don't. Or he's in the zone when he's doing. You know, I took him to the Dominican Republic, and he preached on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. In one church, he preached on the three little pigs and the big bad wolf and another one. And those people never had heard them stories. And they didn't think it was funny. They thought it was crazy. But he preached right on anyway, and he was in the zone. Anyway, what I was saying was you got to know what Jesus' main thing is. He's working on something that's more important than everything else he's doing. He skippeth on the hills and leapeth on the mountains, the Shulamite said. But his love his dove, she is the only one of her mother. And so if God touches your life and lets you see and get a vision of the body of Jesus Christ in the earth. You know, that wasn't a common thing to know and understand when William Souders got that revelation. If you go back in history, you won't find that anybody else was talking about the body of Christ and talking about a church being restored, people, that God was bringing people out of all phases and facets of religion into one body, into one spirit. You know, when you, if you get around someone, you know, they say if you're married to a person long enough, you start looking like them. And you'll even start acting like them. Well, Sister Smith and I have talked about that every once in a while, you know, and she said, well, I don't think I look like you. And I said, well, I don't think I look like you either. But but you will develop features that are common, you know. You'll have actions that'll be similar. And reactions that'll be similar. In fact, the other people will probably see it more than you. But if you get around, if you get close enough to Jesus, you'll start acting like Him. You'll take on His Spirit. That's what it's talking about when it said there's one body and one Spirit. The Spirit of God that was in Jesus, it caused Him to be like He was. His behavior, His actions. In life, and if you begin to get His mindset, if you get the understanding of God that Jesus had, you'll become like Him. I know that I'm not like I used to be. I'm changing all the time, maybe little by little. You know, when you stay together with people, they don't see you change as much as maybe others if they hadn't saw you in a long time. I get up in the morning to look at myself in the mirror and I just look like the same guy that I looked like yesterday. But when I look at pictures 20 years ago, it's scary. You know, and when I see somebody that hadn't saw me, in fact, Dennis, there's people that I see every once in a while. I'll meet somebody and see them, and they're maybe I haven't seen them in 20 years, and I don't even know who they are. I've had people come up to me and say, "Do you remember me?" And I'll look at them and I'll say, "Help me a little bit." You know, it's kind of embarrassing, but sometimes you'll, you know, but. This revelation of the body of Christ, I remember. You remember what it was like when you got it? You remember what it felt like when you got this revelation? That's one of the things that Jesus, in the letter that He had John write the church at Ephesus, He said, "Remember from whence thou art fallen." He was telling the church, go back and remember. He was telling them to do their first works over again. Well, you're remembering. Your memory is important in this. To keep it in your mind where God has brought you from, what He's done for your life, and the revelation that He's gave you. Don't ever let this become old hat. This is rich today as it was the day you got it. And it'll keep getting richer because it's new revelation. He keeps adding to this revelation. He keeps what's a good word for adding to it? Yeah, enhancing it. That's a good word. He's continuing to enhance the things that he's gave us. And I don't want to get out of balance. Jesus said the true worshipers. Don't you want to be a true worshiper? That lets you know right there you can be a false worshiper. You can be a worshiper that doesn't have, you're not worshiping all in truth. There's people worshiping God and they don't even have the truth about Him. They believe in Him. They may have a measure of truth, but the true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. It takes both. It takes revelation of the truth of the Word of God, and then it takes the Spirit of God, of course, to bring about that revelation and to continue to quicken us. And we have to keep a balance there, not just the Word of God. It seemed like the Lord was commending the church at Ephesus there for, if you want to turn to the second chapter of Revelations, we might just read that. Verse 2, he said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. There's some good things about this church in Ephesus. If you go back in the book of Acts, maybe the 20th chapter, I believe, where Paul he met with the elders of Ephesus and talked to them, and he told them, he said, after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in, spoiling the flock. He already saw a spirit working in that church that was going to bring great hindrance to it. And he said, they'll make disciples after themselves. And so he was warning them of that. And here this same church, he's writing them a letter some 30-some-odd years later. But he's commending them first. He's telling them, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your work. I know you've labored in my name. You worked in the gospel. And I know your patience. I know how you've been patient, waiting on my direction, my wisdom, waiting on my judgment. And you can't bear them that are evil. You've kept a separation. He's commending them for that they were living a sanctified life. They weren't compromising with sin and those that were committing evil acts. Did you know that? Did you know when you come in here that you come in here and you may try to live right, but if you start letting down, if you start you give back over to the flesh or carnality. Did you know that it'll separate you from those that are dedicated and trying to live right in here? You might fool people. It's that old saying says you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Your sins shall surely find you out. That's a true statement. You'll find out that, that the life that you're living will finally be revealed. Jesus said this. He said, what's done in secret will be shouted from the housetop. That's something about God. He'll keep things from being revealed. He'll protect us as long as we're trying to serve Him. He'll give us time. He'll work with us. But if we keep failing, we just keep playing with God and just keep fooling around with sin, we won't get ourselves dedicated and live right. He'll finally lift the cover off of us. It'll finally get shouted from the housetop. It'll finally get revealed. Things that may have been done in secret. God gives a space of time. And even God's people learns that. They learn how to be patient with people. how to long suffer, how to, it takes wisdom. Brother Green, Emilio Green's been telling me that. He said, my Lord, Brother Smith, it takes wisdom to save people. He's realizing it. He's got ministers now under his ministry that he's having to deal with the fact that they may just sling out big chunks of meat to people. And he was telling me yesterday about a young minister in his church that has already caused him to lose a family just by their, because they don't have, they didn't have any wisdom. How he, began to talk and tell these people things. So it does take patience of how to wait on God, and it also takes the patience of God how to wait on people, how to work with people. And he was admonishing them, or not admonishing, but acknowledging that he knew their works, their labor, their patience, and that they had separated themselves from evil, those that were evil, and were living sanctified lives. And thou hast tried them that say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Evidently, they had enough understanding to know whether or not that men that were claiming to be leaders and be sent of God, that to find out whether or not they were false or true men of God. And he goes over and says, you've borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, he said, I have somewhat against you, thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. There it is, remember. You have to keep it in your memory what God has done for you so that you stay in balance. Looked like this church was pretty much doctrinally holding to the doctrine, but the spirit side of it, they may have been out of balance on that side. But I feel like we need to keep ourselves renewed in the things of the Spirit of God, of what God did for us when He brought us this way. I've never got tired of hearing messages on the body of Christ, what that God has added us to, where He's brought us, because it's the greatest revelation for today, this day and time, that a man can have. To have a revelation of the church that God's restoring. We have trouble, and that people, when they do hear you talk on this, that you're, they pick up on it. You're saying y'all are it. That's offensive. People find, because if you're not, I've told y'all that about one night in Fort Worth where this new couple was coming, and we were singing that song, Just Look Out Yonder Where I Might Have Been. Oh, I thank God He brought me in. He brought me in. Just look out yonder. This couple had been coming some, and they came that night and heard that song sung, and they was driving home. Her husband was driving, and she was sitting over there not saying a word. All of a sudden, she said, look out yonder. He slammed on his brakes and swerved over the side of the road, and he said, what is it? She said, that song they're singing. She said, you know what they're saying? They're saying we're out yonder. Because we're not in there. We haven't been with them. And it dawned on her. And you'll pick that up if you've got ears to hear when you come around this. That this people found they're preaching that there's a body of Christ in the earth and that they're a part of it. Now, when I came in, it was different than it is today, because there wasn't anybody preaching it on the body of Christ when I came in. I mean, I hadn't even heard anybody use that term. But now everybody out in religion uses it. Everybody, all different aspects of religion, is saying they're the body of Christ. And they're mistaken because they think that it, the church, they're just using that term like the church. But they're hearing that message somewhere. And I want to let you in on something. They got that message from us. This is where that message started. It started with William Souders. He got a revelation. He saw in the scriptures, in the book of Ephesians, that Jesus was the head of the church, which is the body, or the head of the body, which is the church. He began to look at that. He began to see there was a body of people back there in that early church. It was, and he began to realize that if you weren't a part of that body, and of course God helped him to see that the church fell away, went into darkness, and that all of this conglomeration of religion, that is in Christianity, came out of that falling away, which is what Jesus was warning this church of in Ephesus, that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in, spoiling the flock, and making disciples of them own selves. See, there was an order in that early church started out with Jesus being the head of those 12 apostles, and those 12 apostles was the chief leadership over the body, and they set things in order. Hey, somebody said the things we have are, some of them are traditions and customs. Well, Jesus said, give tradition, custom to whom custom's due, and tradition to whom tradition. They had customs back there that men of God, we have them here. In this body, we've got customs and traditions that the men of God have planted and gave us for boundary lines to help you keep yourself intact with what's pleasing to God. We've set up traditions that we keep, that they've gave us for our own protection, that will keep the world. You don't have to be too smart to realize that the world is overtaking these denominational churches out here. That there's a lot of world in the church. You don't have to be too bright to figure that out and to see that. Let me tell you something. Young people you can appeal to young people by bringing more of the world in the church, letting them be more worldly. I'm just saying as a whole. I'm not saying all you young people are that way, but as a whole, because it takes a little bit of time to understand. Brother Billy Brown is the one that brought the term in our ministers' meetings, in some of our other meetings. He called it creeping worldliness. That it creeps in. It don't just, you're not going to let it. And it is true that society changes. We don't teach the same traditions. Traditions change. 50 years ago in this body, you women couldn't wear an open-toed shoe. In fact, you had to wear black hose. I believe I'm right on that. I wasn't here 50 years ago, but I've heard it taught on. And there's a lot of things that have changed over the years that ministers have seen that, it may be too strong of a position to take, and that there may have been a more moderate position that could adjust our traditions. But the intent has been is to not let the world and carnality come in here and choke out the Spirit of God. That we're trying to please God, and we know we can't please Him in the flesh. We can't please God by letting carnality rule. But it's this inner life. It's this inner man. It's this Holy Ghost nature that we're to learn to give over to, and it's to help us. If we'll keep the Holy Ghost alive, Do you remember what it felt like when you got saved? Do you remember how you had something inside of you that you felt so clean? You felt, praise God, I'm gonna dedicate myself. I'm gonna live for Him. I'm gonna do what the Lord asked me to do. I don't want to be like the world. Because you felt that the filthiness of the world lifted off of you. And the cleanliness of God's righteousness bathed you. His grace bathed you. And you felt that. And it put such a zeal in you to live a righteous life. To stay dedicated. And not taint this inner man, this new man that's been born again. Just something about it. In fact, today, there's no greater feeling than when the Holy Ghost, you know, I see it from time to time. I see it on all of you. These song leaders will strike up a song, and it'll touch you. And just break you down on the inside. And you get that renewal. That inner man gets back in that place where he was born of. And you feel that